started here, you know, first I want to thank everybody for coming to this presentation. I think it'd be really helpful, and I want to thank you for coming here. We'll give the presentation, and then we'll answer questions at the end, mainly do it from the legislators first, and then the press, and then open it up to the public. So I have some maps here that we worked on, and then I have a presentation down here on the wall, but you guys have a handout right here in front of you. So if we could, we'll start with the presentation, this outline right here, and go through it. The first page is just the cover page. And the second page, Barney will go to that. It's just kind of clarifies state-owned lands in the White Peak area or anywhere around the state. These are lands that are trust lands. They're granted by us by Congress in the territory of Mexico more than a century ago to support the public school system. State trust lands are held in a trust. We have 23 beneficiaries. They're really not classified as public lands, such as BLM, National Forest. They're held in a trust. We have an agreement with Game and Fish Department. They pay us a couple $100,000 a year for an easement through there for hunting and fishing, and also we issue recreational permits. When we started the office, we were getting about $100,000 a year. We redid our contract with Game and Fish. We put it down on a user fee basis. How many elk permits are issued? How many antelope permits are issued? How many deer permits are issued? How much hunting is done? We put that on a business formula, and then we bring in about twice as much as we started in 2003 with our new business formula we put with the Game and Fish. The next slide will show you the exchange objectives. We'll go down through this. One of them is to improve the boundary distinctions for trust lands. Consolidate holdings where landowners would own 44,000 continuous acres. That'll help facilitate effective land management rather than have checkerboarded areas. It'll help the trespass issues, hunting where you shouldn't be, illegal vehicle use, conservation practices we use, erosion. Create a quality game hunting area. As a sportsman myself, we want to have good quality game hunting areas. Improve existing roads and construct a new all-weather road. So we have a good road up there for everyone to use, including the people that want to go up there and look at it just for conservation reasons, not just to hunt. And the closed unnecessary roads have been done. It's promoted by a lot of conservation groups when they're not needed to have better wildlife habitat. And also to develop campgrounds and facilities for hunters and recreationalists that go into that area. And also restores forest restoration and improve the forest habitat in there for wildlife. The next slide, Barney, shows some of the roads, some of the damage, some of the roads. There's roads wherever you want to put them through there. My picture's not a very good one. It shows fence being tore out. Well, go back to the one. It shows the fence being cut there. Next one shows, you can see, go to the next one there, Barney, the road. The road is not a very good road. You can see all the impassable at times. What we want to make is a good road up there for all people to use in state trust land. They have a recreational permit and also have a hunting license. The next slide shows that you can see a two-track road. It just gets wider and wider as time goes along. One on the far right starts, then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Just moves to the left. Next slide shows donuts being done out there. See the erosion done there. I feel like that's not appropriate. We want to make sure we have good lands out there and take care of them. Now we'll get into the crux of it. This is what the White Peak Exchange looks like before we've done anything. I want to point out some points here. Here's the highway right along here. There's no connection to state trust lands from the highway. No access. The part over the last 25 years that has been in contention on closing gates is right up here. A rancher closed a gate out up here on the highway, paved highway at the corner right here. It's hard to see on here. That gate was told to be opened by the court. Then they closed it down here. I forget how many miles. The court said open for 6 miles. It was closed here again. Here it is. Here's the road right here. It was right up through here. It was closed here again, so you can't get through here. The court's rule again said, well, let's open it here so they can get into state trust lands here. That'll probably be back in court again. I absolutely think it'll go to court again. Someday it's going to rule probably that we won't be able to get into there as a sportsman. So we want to secure access through this whole area. That means we have to acquire this land, require these lands, require these lands. We have to pick up something down here to get the highway frontage. There's where the highway is. That's with the Stanley Exchange. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Here's a private land offered to us from the ranchers. As I pointed out, right down here, we're getting this piece of land here that goes all the way to the highway. And that is so critical. We would not do this exchange if we didn't get this piece of land right here, or this piece of land, or this piece of land right here. Picking up all this checkerboard area, this piece of land right here, this is White Peak itself, right there. That's a piece of private land, White Peak. You're not even supposed to be hunting that unless you have a private landowner permit. Not a state issued license. So we're picking up everything, and what you see in the kind of the maroon color from Stanley right there. We're also picking up from the UU bar what's in the green here. All this checkerboard stuff through here. And I want to point out one thing that we're going to do, and I couldn't be able to put it on my map there, for put it on the board there. I want to show it to you guys and commissioner. Here's the Mabrose Road that we're going to start. We'll start right here on the highway. There's an existing road that starts about right there. We're going to pick up this land here, build a road to here, pick up an existing road that goes all the way up through there, makes a loop around through there for hunters, and comes back. Here's where the existing entry to there comes in now. That's what's always been in court, right through here, which may be closed again someday if the court rules it should be. It's just been a fight for 25, 30 years. So this is how we're going to build the road up through here, make access to all that, put in camping grounds for the hunters and recreationals, and make it a road where it doesn't go through any private land, so it won't be in court. I think it's very essential. It opens up everything in the blue here after the exchange is done. Second, we've been saying we're giving up water rights instead of bringing back water rights. I was able to plot some of the water on here, but not much of it. But what was settled in the late 1800s, usually the settlement was done where water is available. That's where people settled and the private land is at. These little blue dots here show the water usage. We're picking up water here and here and here. Let me point this map out to Leslie. I got to be able to read that. Come on, let me see. Because I didn't put this together. We'll start at the very bottom here. We're going to get this access land. That piece of property is on Ocotay Creek. That is probably the most prettiest piece of property. It's got no less than 7 beaver ponds right along that property. That is a great piece of water access. We're getting that water. We're getting this piece of land stuck out here. It's high mountain meadow land. It's got a permanent spring in there, natural ponds in there, and a permanent spring right in there. Also, there's a pond we're picking up right in here. 2 ponds picking up right there. And right here, here's a critical piece of access here. That's the headwaters of the Sweetwater Creek right in there. That has a sub-irrigated meadow. It also that goes through the whole thing. That meadow flows through the whole thing there. And also is a sub-irrigated pond there. This is Otero Mesa, which has very little water, permanent water. This land we're picking up right here is where the permanent water is there. There's 2 perennial springs up there, plus a meadow and a permanent pond up there. So picking that up. This is White Peak. That has a pond on it itself. That's private land. So we're getting the water. In fact, the only water that was on here that we've had in that whole area was right here. Can you go back to the original White Peak before the exchange? Only water we had is right here along this creek, right here. This little area here that wasn't be able to get to. And how people got to that, they went through here. The road cut right across through here, then the road went all the way up through private land. It goes, follows that creek all the way through private land. We want to put the road back so it can't be closed on private land. We have this road through here. And the only water along there that was on state land was this little part right there. Okay, go back to the... So this is what we're picking up. Water and access, 2 most important things, which you can see right here. Let's go to the next slide there, Barney. That's the Stanley Ranch Exchange. We're giving him what's in the yellow to block that up, block his property up, and we're getting what's in the red there. Access bases, that shows you an overview of the whole map there. There's the Stanley Ranch that we're getting from him, Ponderosa Pine, water and meadow, another watering hole, good water for elk, trees in the background, some great wildlife habitat right there. There's another meadow we're getting, the choice lands that were sold. Here's what the state's giving to Stanley. There's this right here, real rough terrain, inaccessible, a lot of it. There's the rocks, there's the trees. And here's what the completed exchange will look like, with the water kind of dotted through there in the blue. You can see we're going to have that access point, have that road going through there. It's going to connect to a road here and make this a good quality wildlife habitat area through here and all through here. With we're gaining water. So if you go back to the original exchange, which I want to point out, when you get this all consolidated, that improves the value of any kind of ranch rather than have a checkerboard. We're going to improve the value of this tremendously. Go back there, Barney, to the other one. If you had to... One more. If you had to buy a ranch with a checkerboard like this, the value of it wouldn't be appraised as much as when we consolidate all, we're improving the whole value of the whole ranch tremendously. Okay, go back to where we left off. That's where we left off. Okay, let's go to some of the numbers here. This is in a White Peak area only, the exchange value summary from the four different exchanges. It's going to take four to do all this. And you got to remember, this leaves out two parcels that's going to go to CS elsewhere in the state. So you just got to look at probably the bottom figure is we're picking acres we're offered is 9,656. That's what we're getting offered to us. And we're giving up 10,900. But we're going to lose 1,300 acres on the exchange because in that area only. Because we're picking up the choice better lands and the better grazing value. The carrying capacity is 1,500 to 1,600 animal units per section versus 5 or 6 animal units per acre. And here's the we're gaining a value of about $13 million in that area. Because here's the value of what we're gaining, what we're getting is $23 million. We're giving up $10 million. So we got a value in that area of $13 million. Here's the exchange summary, just basically what you just saw, except we're throwing in two pieces of land to the CS. One of them is the Arroyo Soca Sequoia land up by Espanola. That they may work a deal with Santa Clara to get back some of their tribal lands or ancestral lands that they want to keep. And a 40-acre tract in Mesa del Sol, and we'll go over that right now. We'll go to the next slide. That seems to be a contingent. The 40-acre tract that wasn't highlighted in here, this is where Mesa del Sol is being developed. This is all in the future. Here's a 40-acre tract right there. 40 acres out of a 10,000-acre lease. This 40-acre tract wasn't even in the lease to start with. That Commissioner Powell signed 6 months before he left this office. This 40-acre tract was picked up by myself. I did an exchange with the City of Albuquerque for open space on the east side. I don't know if anybody's driven down through I-40 and looked on the north side as you're coming into Albuquerque. There's a big yucca plant there all chromed up. That was state trust lands, and some developers wanted to build some houses there. We said, no, we want to keep that for open space, so we traded the City of Albuquerque, that piece of land, and I forget, it was a complex exchange, but this was one of the parcels we got, this 40 acres here, so we could do something with. I'm the commissioner to pick this up. We feel like if we keep it now, that it'll be kept for open space. That's what's happened before. When we tried to develop our land where it's already developed around it, people say the real estate agency sold us this because it was going to always be open space. That's happened to me in Ruidoso and in Las Cruces too. So We feel like this would be a good time to exchange it, get it to the private sector. They can, if they want to develop, they can create jobs and turn the economy and create money in that area. That would be a good thing to do. Here's a little definition of that Mesa del Sol. It's 41.5 acres, originally owned by the city of Albuquerque. Raised to $2.2 million. This parcel was not part of the Mesa del Sol master plan, never has been, not in there. We acquired it in 2008 from the city of Albuquerque, and we feel like with that piece we can get more land. Well, I know we're getting more land at the White Peak area from the CS Ranch. We're getting $2.2 million worth of acreage up there, probably $2.3 million in that area for the hunters. Here's the Arroyo Seca parcel that is up by the Santa Clara Pueblo. This is what they own right up in here. They want this because they said this part of their original lands. This is land that we haven't had any activity on, minimal of a grazing lease. This land carrying capacity is evaluated at 4 to 5 animal units per section. We're picking up land from CS valued at 15 or 12 to 16 animal units. So we're picking up better land, and this is a chance to get some great land back to the original people that had it. Here it is. Here's a little definition of those two tracts. There's two tracts containing 3,600 acres located in northern Santa Fe County. You know how hard it is to develop Santa Fe County. The west tract is about 1,200 acres, valued at about $3.7 million. And the east tract contains about 2,400 acres, valued at about $6 million. It's open, rolling grassland, scattered pinyon, juniper, containing numerous arroyos. That land was acquired in 1968 pursuant to the Taylor Grazing Act, which was offered to us by federally owned lands in the state. Currently holds a lot of cultural and religious value to the Santa Clara Pueblo. They've been figuring out some way how to exchange with me for that for about 3 or 4 years. Okay. This is the revenue earnings. You can see in 2009, which we just ended, we earned about $56,000. I'm sorry, my pointer went out here. That's not, doesn't seem to be working anymore. Must be the battery in it. With the exchange being done, we'll increase the revenue to $57,642. The land acquires and 3 other exchanges have more carrying capacity for grazing, thereby increasing the value. It won't be checkerboarded out, and the land will handle 16 to 20 head. It'll be better mountainous property we're getting. Here's a revenue summary from the White Peak Exchange. First off, shows the state land, all those acres. Acres offered over, third column over. Revenue currently coming from the state land office, all 4 of those exchanges. The revenues that we'll get, that's just a breakdown of the $56,000 to $57,000. We're having an increase of about $1,200 a year. Just the revenue there with potential in the future. That's just revenue starting as soon as the exchange is done with. Here's the beneficiary breakdown in that area. Our beneficiaries seem to support what we're doing to make their land more valuable. Public schools own 12,000 acres. New Mexico State University about 9,000. You can see it goes on down there through our beneficiaries, which we haven't had any complaint. We had a beneficiary meeting in December on that. See Colfax Minor Hospital getting about 4,600 acres there. School for the Deaf, Mexico Military Institute, those are almost solely, and School for the Blind, they're almost solely dependent on this office for revenue. They didn't have a state land office, New Mexico Military Institute and New Mexico School for Deaf and School for Blind would not be in office. We were the first commissioner to give them over $10 million for School for the Blind, School for the Deaf last year, and over $20 million to New Mexico Military Institute. And that's record revenues in the last 4 years in a row in the land office on a flat budget with 4 less employees than we started with. So our beneficiary has been very happy with us because we're keeping them in business. That's it. Slide. So with that, I'll be glad to... I'm sorry there's no state senators here. I was hoping some would come. glad to answer any questions. If I can't answer them, I have a staff working on this from the commissioners or legislators. Brian?
Well, Commissioner, thank you for the presentation. You know, I think a lot of what's here, it gives me the impression that this is more being done for the private side of the transaction. And I think, you know, we see a lot of the, you know, the photos of fences coming down and the muddy roads being moved and things like that. And you mentioned these are David's fences. And I did meet with Mr. Stanley, by the way. And, you know, he makes a decent case for why this is going to make his life better and why this makes his ranch more valuable. And he said his plan now is to, the Stanley Ranch closed today, right?
Yes.
That's done. So he said now his plan is to fence off this area and to, you know, make it easier to keep folks out. And I can see all the reasons that it's good for David Stanley. And if I were in his shoes, I might want to proceed. But when we look at all of them together, especially when we bring in the Mesa del Sol property and the property south of Espanola, it seems that this is something that is being driven more by the private side of the transaction, with a $1,700 change, maybe. It's you know, it could be a $1,700 increase in income. It seems like a small amount of money to go through all this trouble and time and effort. And I guess I'm sort of troubled by the fact that this is happening today after the main White Peak Exchange is closed. I mean, it's done. It's over. So we're sort of here after the fact. So I'm not exactly sure why, you know, how this started and why this is being done and why we couldn't have simply said, you know, we need access down here on this highway, so make an effort to acquire this parcel and just acquire this parcel just with a cash purchase instead of having to go through a land exchange that is so complicated it's almost impossible to explain to anyone without a, you know, full-blown presentation like this.
We were not, Stanley owned those parcels. He would not give them to us at any price. I mean, the good comes with the bad. We did have secure access for sportsmen today, tomorrow, and forever. To settle a court case has been going on for 25 and 30 years on a road going through there. The road being closed, road being fenced. So, we go back to our presentation that we want to make it a quality game area, better wildlife habitat, and not be checkerboarded. It's better land management.
Well, I guess, you know, it's really just a maybe even a policy concern that I'm raising. But the other issues here, you know, mitigating trespass, vandalism, theft, illegal vehicle use, and poaching aren't really issues, at least as far as I can tell, properly before the land office. It seems like those would be law enforcement issues, or that those would be game and fish issues, or that they're issues for the private landowners to work out. And, you know, when we've got such a complicated transaction that's done now by the time everyone's really understanding it, it to me is not a good policy for the state to be following, I think.
Okay. Excuse me if I may, but what do you mean by done? Are we here after the fact just hearing you, or what's going on?
No. We did the Stanley Exchange. We have not done the other three exchanges.
I think all of them are all the same exchange, Commissioner. I don't think you can hold one exchange independent of the other three. All exchanges, is by your explanation, were one move to consolidate in one complete action for access lands. So to isolate one exchange as an independent exchange from the other three, I think is at best it's a contradiction.
That's the only one that's closed.
That's the only one that matters.
Yeah.
It's the only one that matters. If you would allow me, Commissioner, to use your PowerPoint, go ahead and use some of the, because I have some rebuttals to the information you presented.
Well, wait a minute. We're going to get to you. We got this gentleman here has the floor.
Thank you.
So that's my point. I was just wondering why we're meeting after the fact if this section was already done.
It was scheduled to close today for about a month. So that's when we moved ahead on that. We'll go through the other three. I think the other three are just important to acquire access to the west side of that property, blocking it up, make it one big block on the west side, and then secure Hunter access through there. Those gates were closed on the west side on the CS 2 years ago. Game Fish called me, said, how can we get access through there? So we had to buy, Game Fish had to buy access through Galloway on a 2-year lease. I said, let's facilitate that and let's get some highway frontage over there also. We mainly talked about the Stanley Exchange, but we talked about the CS. We're acquiring the property in the two pieces in the lime green there, the highway frontage, that's what we're getting there to acquire access to all that country. That's been checkerboarded over there also, and we're getting some great land there. So, yes, we did close the exchange this morning for Stanley. It's been scheduled to do that, and we're still working on the other three. I think this Stanley was so important because I wanted to make sure Hunter's had a permanent access on that Highway 120.
Do you have an idea of the CS portion of this, looking at the lands that they're giving to your office and the value, the appraised value of the lands that are leaving your office? It is so lopsided. Why do you have an idea why they give up lands worth almost $13.5 million in exchange for lands that you're appraising at $734,000?
Because they're picking it. That just says White Peak area only. That's right. Where the hunters know. You need to go to the next parcel that shows, that brings in the other two pieces, and that throws the value of those in there. So what we're really doing is adding to the hunter base there by giving up lands elsewhere.
When we're talking about in the Mesa del Sol, this 40-acre parcel you said is potentially good for job creation and development and things like that, does it make sense to give up land that has a large potential future value and Mesa del Sol is built out in exchange for grazing lands, which are, as you said, kind of the least valuable lands that we've got when you're comparing them to mineral estate leases and things like that?
It makes sense when the development is almost halted. In fact, there is no development as for the last 18 months. Period. We don't know when that's going to happen. And with the lease, the master plan, this is not even in the master plan. It will be developed in 100 years. And when it does, we're left out of the master plan, and our land will be, I believe, it'll be used for open space as it did in Ruidoso and Las Cruces, which deems our land as useless unless they want to do like the city of Albuquerque and buy open space, which we require them to do. We don't give open space, don't give up our trust beneficiaries' land to anyone. Open space has to be bought too.
Well, you know, as I look around Santa Fe, I always wish that my grandparents had bought a little more land, you know, because all the stuff on the outskirts of town that was, you know, 80 years away from development and in the middle of nowhere is, you know, sort of funding the college educations of all of their great-grandchildren decades and generations later. And I wish I could go back and tell my grandparents, you know, hey, this would have been some good stuff to buy. And maybe it just seems like this might be that kind of situation, you know, where we've already got, you know, we're already so invested in the successful development of Mesa del Sol that to me it makes more sense to sort of continue to stand by that investment and wait for this property to mature. And you know, if access is the only issue, or is the main issue to provide contiguous access, then the Stanley Ranch swap has done that.
For the...
Right? I mean, because you're not getting any...
For the east side. Not for the west side.
It's very little on this other one, and it seems like the main has been done. And I mean, what's the...
Barney, pull up, go to the map of... just go through and I'll show you which one to stop at. Right there.
The fourth, it's still contiguous.
Well, no, it's not. There's been a problem with hunter access there, as I explained earlier, with Game and Fish 2 years ago. They called us and said, how can they get through there? This pointer here isn't working either, but... So the stuff in the lime green here is what we have to pick up to get hunter access through there. It's right here, because we can't get up through here without it.
That's highway front.
This line green is listed as surface estate already with the state trust.
That's Galloway stuff we're going to pick up.
See here, this is not...
Okay, Galloway is right there.
See, I mean, all this, if we go back here, you still... This is listed as trust land that's already in the trust. And that gives you contiguous access to all this in here.
There's a road through here that comes through here and stops it. Here's the road that comes through there. Here's the piece of land right here. Here's the road that comes through there. You can't get through here. You can't get out of this piece right here with it right now. There's no roads out of this other area.
Commissioner.
Yes.
Commissioner, thanks for sharing the presentation with us. I'm Mike Anaya, County Commissioner in Santa Fe County. And my question is this the first public meeting that you've had? Or you mentioned hunters and outdoorsmen, and I'm an avid hunter myself. How many times have you met with the hunters or the Wildlife Federation to talk about the land transfer?
Our doors have been open continuously. We have an open door policy. We meet with anybody at any time. Not any time. We'll meet with anybody whenever we get to it, but we always try to meet with people and have an open door policy. We've had that ever since I've been here. We don't have security to get in here, and we do that. We presented this presentation. We presented to Game and Fish. They accused us not presenting to us. We had to pull up the record that showed, yes, we presented to their officer out of Raton, and sent a letter to all the Game and Fish members of their board. So it has been available. It has been tried to present to the hunters in there, in like Moore and other areas, and it's just been an outcry, and it hasn't worked by other commissioners. I'm not the first commissioner to do this. I'm the fourth commissioner to attempt this.
Commissioner, it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, is that this is something that has been done under the table and not being able to, it's not been in the public eye. Is that not
been
right?
Been in public eye for 30 years.
So why is
it? The gates have been closed, they've been to court, been everywhere.
So why is it that we're hearing from especially the people in Mora County and San Miguel County, that there's something being done under the table? I mean, why didn't you go out and have a meeting in those areas? Or did you?
We met with Game and Fish.
But, okay. Thank you.
Commissioner, if I may, if this has been going on for four state land commissioners before you, I would take that as the constituents from Mora County and Colfax County not wanting this to be done because of the sacred for themselves, hunting. So something's wrong there. If it hasn't been passed in the past, something's wrong. The people from Mora County and Colfax County don't want it to be done. That's what's going on.
We have a lot of support to people that want to get it done.
I haven't met one, Commissioner.
Just as many as people that don't. Because one thing, you're not supposed to be hunting on a private land or trespassing on it with a state permit. So we're going to get this facilitated where we have quality, good wildlife area. It's the whole presentation, Commissioner, where we have them. We're doing better conservation practices, better wildlife habitat, better distinction of the property, and no checkerboarded areas, so you can have better land management practices.
I have one more concern about this with Stanley. Being that Stanley's going to be getting his own property, and he's going to start fencing this, he's going to start keeping the animals in his property and benefiting from that.
Well, what kind of animals are you talking about?
We're talking about elk, deer, game.
Well, I don't think there'll be a game-proof fence being built. I mean, that to put an elk fence up, that's almost impossible to do.
Money talks.
That's not going to happen. Tomas, do you have any?
Commissioner, I actually have several questions that I want to ask, but I want to follow up on something that you just mentioned to the commissioner for Mora, Commissioner Martinez, who's our chairman, about not being able to access the private land. Now, as you know, Commissioner, there is that option by the landowners where they can check off when they submit their documentation to Game and Fish, that's either ranch only or unit wide. And if you check off the unit wide box by getting the permits on your private land, you are agreeing with Game and Fish to allow public hunters onto your private land. So that is a little bit of a misconception there. Depending on what you check off, they may have availability to your ranch.
Okay, let's go through that issue a little bit. And that's a very good issue you brought up. Years ago, well, first off, let's start out by saying that we tried to purchase this area when I was in the Senate. And since then, since I've been a commissioner, Pete Compos introduced a bill for $15 or $16 million just by the area, just to buy them out. So did, I think, Masorley. So did a couple, I don't know who did on the House side. I think Kristen has those bills. Those bills are in legislative council service. You can look them up. So we tried to purchase this for several years and couldn't get it done. Game and Fish said there were so many problems up there about 10 years ago, they said, okay, we're going to distinct two different hunting seasons. We're going to let the people that draw public permits hunt one season, and then the people and then the private lands hunt another season. There was all kinds of problems with that. They instituted that for 1 or 2 years, then they stopped doing it because they said it was not working. And the third thing you point out, yes, they can. A lot of people do check ranch only if they have a big enough place, especially with antelope permits, because antelope travel so much once being hunted. These ranchers do not ever check. They always check ranch only, where they don't open up their whole ranch to anybody in that unit. So it hasn't worked that way. They won't do that. And they never have.
Okay, now do we know, Commissioner, if in this case, if Stanley has selected the ranch only option, are we about that?
He has for years and years. I haven't looked too far back in the records, but I'm pretty sure he has.
Okay,
and you have to ask Game and Fish that question.
Okay, and I have some others based on the presentation that you gave, Commissioner. You mentioned the improvement of the roads and the access.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reality is you're 11 and a half months from leaving office.
Right.
So is this something that you have in your power, the funding and the availability to create the roads before you leave? Or is this something that we're leaving to our potentially future land commissioners now? Do you have in place some sort of a comprehensive use management that will ensure that future commissioners, if you cannot build this road in the next 11 months, will do this access that's been promised to the public right now?
That's another good question. Right now, this piece of property here we have on highway frontage, we're going to start constructing that road up to here as soon as weather permits, right through here. There's a road already that starts right there where I drew that little line. It goes on up through here. It's just a two-lane road. So our main deal, my main objective right now is to try to get this part built right through here, up to here, so hunters can have access all through here for spring turkey season. And so that's where we're going to start construction on this. We have as you know, construction is down all over the United States, especially in New Mexico. So we have a guy that's got a bulldozer that'll start constructing this road at a cheap price. He needs some business, and we're going to do that immediately. We've worked that part into our budget. That's not too expensive. As for the all-weather part, we're wanting Game and Fish to help throw in with us on this, to help do it, and any other agencies that can. But each year, we've had about a $600,000 surplus in our budget that we have not spent, even though it's been appropriated. We have given it back, much less a flat budget. So we do have some money available to do some work there.
Okay, but given the fact that you may finish this off, that small portion, and you have the funding, as you mentioned, you have this $600,000 left over, what assurances does the public have that there's going to be an all-access road in the future? Because you mentioned that it's a two-lane road. And
it's a pasture road like elsewhere. Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, this is not a road. This is just for the guys driving up there to check their cattle.
Yeah, well, it's as good as the road is through there now.
Well, it's not as good as this one that goes through here.
Well, have you been up that one? Or it gets up into here?
You know, in fact,
it goes through all through private land. Yeah,
pointer, just so, you know, I'm gonna try to just talk to talk. This property right here, Commissioner, is that private land?
Yeah.
Is owned by the Garcia family. So that's okay. Why I can tell you that I'm speaking from experience. And so the roads that you're mentioning there.
So anybody can go through there?
Are non-existent. Nobody can go through there. That's privately held land by my family.
Okay.
The road that exists currently in this general area is passable. It's a good road. The road over here is better than most county roads. And so there is
to a certain point there.
To a certain point. But again, you are going into terrain where I think even the sportsmen don't want, you know, a paved road up here.
No, we're not going to do a paved road.
My concern is right here where we're saying we're going to have an all-access road. I don't see this happening in the next 11 months. And so what assurances do we have? And we do have a couple of the individuals that are vying for the seat of land commissioner with us here today, that they, if they are successful, will continue with this plan. Is there a comprehensive plan to ensure that this takes place, or in 3 years are the sportsmen and hunters going to be coming up to us and saying, where's our all-access road? We own the land, but we can't get up there.
Okay, right now, as you pointed out, there's access through here. You said it's better than a county road. So you still have access up here. But to answer your question directly, we are coming down with a comprehensive plan, but we can't do it by ourselves. We've got to have support from the governor's agency, mainly be the Game and Fish Department, because they're the ones that, as Representative pointed out, they're the enforcement agency through this. We're just a leasing agency. We're not the enforcement agency. So we're working with Game and Fish, and so far we haven't been able to get them to the table to help us much. I think the governor has slowed that down. We want them to come in here and help us create them. We don't have the wildlife managers here like they have up there in the Raton office. We want them to come here and help us, one, build a road, two, create good, better wildlife habitat under their direction. And they're the agency to help us do that. So we're coming up with a comprehensive plan working with other agencies.
And I guess, Commissioner, isn't that kind of a situation where we're putting the cart before the horse? Shouldn't we have had the plan in place? And then you move forward following through with that master plan that you have instead of trying to acquire these. Because, you know, it's interesting that part of what we've been hearing is it's because of the access. And now that I pointed out the access on the north, you say, well, they'll still have access through there. But yet that's been the issue of contention is the access. So, I mean, it's like we're saying one thing to make it look favorable, and then on the flip side it doesn't seem so favorable. So I'm wanting to get these things clarified.
Let's go back to your access on the north. That's been where the court cases have been every time. There'll probably be another court case there, so we can't be sure that we have access to the north permanently. That's why we're going to get permanent access from the south. Access, wildlife quality are the two most important things here, plus the water we're getting to make this one comprehensive plan here.
Okay, a couple other questions, Commissioner. How were the mineral rights calculated into the appraisals?
As I answered Representative Egolf at the LFC meeting, no mineral rights are being exchanged. We cannot exchange mineral rights in state land dollars because we do not know the value of mineral rights. It has to be an appraised value. We do not know the appraisal of mineral rights, so we keep every single one of our mineral rights.
I'm going backwards, though, from the other individuals, from Stanley and UUBAR, CS, are we acquiring their mineral rights?
We've acquired some of their mineral rights, but not all of them. What we can negotiate on the deal, we tried to get. Okay, I have a map on that somewhere.
How are those appraised? I mean, how is the value given to those rights? Was it at a certain set value, or did you come up with what the going
rate is? I
didn't
come up with any. We didn't do any appraisal mineral rights. We just tried to. I don't know if they did. They might have done it independently and not tell us, but I don't know if they did or not. But we tried to acquire the mineral rights, but we didn't give up any mineral rights. So that's a mute question, it seems like to me.
Well, not really, because, as you know, Commissioner, you recently, in the last 12 months, signed mineral leases for this area right here.
Yeah.
And so it is being actively leased today.
Right.
And so the leases that you signed were for a certain value. And so, not having seen the appraisals, I'm wondering if in that value that we have of the $12 million, if there was some value given for mineral rights that may have been acquired from any of these people to say, well, that 100 acres of mineral right is worth $1 million, because that's not what we received as the state land office on the leases we just entered into up there.
No, what's on your sheet is surface right value only, no mineral rights. In this presentation.
Has
yes,
no
sir.
Mineral value, just
no
surface
mineral value.
Value to it.
Yeah.
Was there any calculations in the appraisals that dealt with the game permits that are up there?
The game and fish permits? We took that off of No, we didn't invite those.
So those aren't part of it? See, because if I remember correctly, Commissioner, and this may be one commissioner prior to you, when the appraisals came in, that was factored into it. So I'm wondering why in this particular instance we're excluding those when previous administrations had said it was or should be calculated into the appraisal value.
Okay, let me go over that. That's a big issue in itself. When you start appraising permits, that's a different appraisal value every year, depending on the number of permits being issued. It's not constant. Second thing is, when you start evaluating hunting permits, then you put a price on those hunting permits. So technically, if you want to get right down to it, we should get, the state land office should say, hey, we want all our permits for state lands delivered to the land office here from the Game and Fish, and then we're going to hold our own auction here at the land office and sell them. And that's what that's going to do, is drive out the hunters like me that can't afford expensive hunts or any other hunters. We want to be able to put in a draw and draw. I've had ranchers come in here. I've had outfitters come in here. I've had guides come in here and say, hey, we want to purchase these permits for this certain area, and we'll give you $10,000 for them. I say, no, those got to go into a public draw. So once you start evaluating that, you're starting down a slippery road where you're going to put the public out of permit business on state trust lands. And I'm not going to do that.
Okay, and I want to just on these two that before and after, perhaps one thing. Now, I'm not sure if the committee existed when you were in the Senate, the land grant committee, if that came in when you were there or after you left.
If it was, it was not active.
Okay, it was probably after that It was created then. One of the issues that we're dealing with here that's been mentioned repeatedly is removing the checkerboard, trying to not allow that to happen. And you do some consolidation there that eliminates some of that checkerboard. So I have a concern with, on the map up there, that lime green that's to the bottom, that section right there, in that the property from State Road 120, which is right there, and 442, which is right there, that goes over to Mora, is all private. And this will now put a checker into a completely private
board. Let me point this out. This right here is on Highway 120. There's the road right there. Mm-hmm. So that's one consolidated area. There's not pieces in the middle of that or checkerboard. And what we're giving up for this is a piece of land right through here. Very similar topographical areas. It's right here. It's not on this map, and a mapper didn't put it on over. We're giving this up right through here to get this down here. And this land that we're giving up is inaccessible to hunters. Here it is right here. This right here. This is Ocotate Creek. We're picking up land right here on Highway 20. We're giving this up right here. Or into this part right here. They wanted this part, and I said, no, we can access that. You cannot get through here. This is state land that's not inaccessible for hunters.
No, my issue, Commissioner, was that where you mentioned the road, that I'm totally agreeing with you, that whole property bound State Road 120.
Right.
What I'm saying is that now you are putting a checker on the south side of 120. All of South 120 and east of 442 is private land, the entire thing. And so by putting in this, now you're almost creating part of what we're trying to eliminate, that now you have one block in an entire sea of private land south of 120 that now has become state trust land. Even though you have access to it off of 120, now it's going to be the sole checker of state land office in an entirely private. And the reason I asked about the land grant committee is because there's been some movements to try to transfer, if it's not being utilized, lands to the land grants, to the common lands. And in looking through your website earlier today, currently, and maybe one of your staff can correct me if I'm incorrect here, there is no trust land within a boundary of a land grant at all.
No, we have several. There's lots of state trust land with inside boundary, inside, all over the state. Down there by Tome or down there south by Squirrel, there's several.
Okay. Okay, because I couldn't find them in your website map.
It's up in Chalmers.
It's possible.
Well,
not
we
state
can get
trust,
you that information.
You know, if it's a state park, there's some of those. We have like Humphreys and places like that that aren't part of it.
We have a lot of it.
And so on top of that, Commissioner, that new section of the lime green will now be put into a historic land grant boundary that exists.
Okay, that's one block of land, as you pointed out. Checkerboarded, we consider something like this. We're surrounded by state trust lands or surrounded by private land with no access to it, such as this piece here I pointed out on this piece of paper right here. So we feel like that securing the highway frontage, that's one block of land, as you said. We have highway frontage all through that, accessible by hunters. Don't have to worry about it's a paved road. Don't have to worry about a road fight, an access fight. So that's where we're going to get there. And as I say, we got several thousands of acres inside.
By state law, it is illegal to hunt off of a highway right away. So that would serve no value to the hunters by state law. It's contradictions.
We don't need any wise asses here, okay?
Thank you for your professionalism.
We're going in here. That hunter access goes off the highway. You drive from the highway onto the private land, or you walk over there.
How familiar are you with this property, Commissioner?
I don't want to talk with you anymore. There's over 100 antelope out there.
We're not talking about antelope.
There's a lot of antelope.
You can have all the antelope. If you speak to any hunter in this room, the properties that were transferred over to the Stanley Ranch are the highest quality elk hunting properties and deer hunting properties in this area, probably the state of New Mexico, period. You can speak to any individual here that is representing the hunters in this area. But Senator Commissioner Lyons is masking is that the interests of four ranchers are being listened to over the concerns of hundreds, possibly thousands of New Mexicans. Some of these ranchers don't even hold residence in New Mexico, don't even vote here, yet we're fixing their trespass issues while they're not talking about the trespass issues of the private landowners, hunters, coming into our state trust lands. Now, if you want to talk land grants, the area that we're talking about right now, it sits within the boundaries of the Santa Gertrudis and the Mora land grant. It is part of the land grant, lands that were historically stripped away by land speculators because of failure to pay taxes and other issues. The fact of the matter remains, first of all, Commissioner Nines talks about we don't know what's going to happen about the access roads. The courts have already spoken several times that access should be granted to the hunters. Now, that be saying that we should preemptively go and shut down those roads or trade this property because it may become inaccessible is like saying we should all go drink beer and drive our trucks because it may become legal. It may become legal to drink and drive in the future. Do we know that? No. By the same token, we do not know that the courts will ever rule to shut those access roads down. Now, what I have a really major concern with is the Stanley Ranch trade, which was a 7,700-acre trade on the part of the state in return for 3,300 acres, closed coincidentally on the same day that Commissioner Lyons chose to brief you folks, our legislators, on this possible issue. Why did he not propose this to you before the closing of the property? Why did he not bring this issue to the forefront before the closing of the property? It's obvious. It wasn't coincidence. This was very carefully planned. To me, it's illegal, and I don't really think that this is going to fly. It's going to end up in the courts, and I don't know. I mean, for $1,700 some profit that we're going to do on the trade, doesn't seem very likely to me that was a good reason to trade the property.
I think you can check with Representative Edoff that we did offer to brief anybody. I told you guys that at the budget meeting, that my door is open. I gave you all my cards so that if you wanted to come in, any of the legislators could have come in and talked about this at any point in time for the last month.
Okay, thank you for your response. We got to keep rolling here. Tom Tomas, you got the floor. Bobby.
But we're here, but unfortunately, the time we decided to come in, you decided to close the doors on us and not give us the opportunity to even voice our concerns.
That was also in the papers.
You know, unfortunately, some of us do work, some of us do have to support our families, and because of that, we cannot make it during Commissioner Lyon's business hours. He's here Monday through Friday, you know, I'm sure 8 to 5. I work at the same hours, so believe it or not, I'm here at an expense to my family. You know, you're taking ancestral lands from three generations of people right here, and probably way more. My son has gone to hunt in this area, and
okay,
you're taking this away from
us. Let's settle down here. That's why things get out of hand. Okay?
Yeah, because backdoor deals happen,
and the
public is not let know, and then we get angry about it. You're right. That is why things get out of hand.
Commissioner, so I...
George, call the police department. We need this man removed. He's going to keep
that. I haven't done anything. Has anybody seen me threaten anybody?
The representative had the floor.
Thank you. I apologize, Representative.
And then, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, I yield the floor to the gentleman. Now I'll take the floor back. I don't feel that me yielding the floor warrants law enforcement presence. He's not doing anything that's inappropriate, Mr. Chairman. He hasn't raised his voice or anything, or, you know, been profane in any capacity. So I think he's willing to yield the floor back.
Yes.
Is that correct? So I'm going to raise that concern with you again, Commissioner, regarding that trade on the south of 120, and that now we put this, and I'm not sure of the acreage. Maybe one of your staff could tell me what the acreage would be of that parcel, that lime green. But, you know, now we're putting in just one land trust property in a sea of private. And so now you create that situation for all the landowners in that area. And, you know, I'll be more than happy to, Mr. Pointer, again, Mr. Commissioner, if you don't mind, you know, so that the folks can be familiar here. My family owns this section right here, and Yates owns over this way, and you have some relatives of mine that own this area and that area. So I'm very familiar with the acreage that we're speaking of, and with the game issues. I know what's out there. You know, one of the gentlemen made the comment of saying, well, we're going to hunt rattlesnakes. You know, so I'm familiar with what is in there. And I'm wondering what the value is of putting this in this sea now of private land. Yes, we'll have access off of 120. I will agree to that. But what are we accomplishing by putting one track in totally private? Because now you get into that other issue of game and fish issues, in that right now there's no access, and these gentlemen will probably agree with me that there's no game in that area that they would apply for permits, or that they would apply for a draw. And so the landowners in all this territory will then be having to say, well, ranch only, because there's no track there and there's nothing there anyway. So we're just putting this in an area that it doesn't need to be, Commissioner, would be my concern. The way it stands right now, with the exchanges that you're making in this area, as you mentioned on your map, they're at least all north of 120. They're, in a sense, they're more consolidated, because now you put these areas that were connected, and you're separating this from the rest of the state trust land by 3 miles. And so we now created this own independent piece of state trust land that I think we need to try to avoid, because then we're creating new checkerboards. That was the issue that I was making. And it only shows that area, but if you go further down to the Mora and San Miguel County lines, you know, we don't want to be getting into that, because now there's the issue of the leases that some folks here may be aware of, with the Opera having leased their mineral rights to a corporation right on the San Miguel Mora County line. And so now we're going to start talking about what's open up again, and we're going to start checkerboarding all these private parcels. So I have a big concern with that, Commissioner. We need to look at that. That's still a possible exchange. That one still has not closed. And so that's something that you need to take into consideration before that action closes, so that we're not creating a situation of more checkerboard. And I'm not sure, Commissioner, if I could point... on the finished product map, that piece right there and that piece right there still remain in private holdings. Do we know who owns those properties?
Yes, we do.
And have they been approached?
Yes, they have.
And what's the status of that? What's going on with those? Because it does,
let's see,
it's just
it
a sea
here.
Of blue right there once again.
It's Torres on the north one, and Romero owns the south one. They said they were not interested in doing any type of exchange. We approached them several times.
Can I follow up a little bit,
Representative? You know, on this checkerboard issue is really interesting because it's something that I see how it's a problem for other agencies, but I still haven't heard how it's something that's properly before your office. And let me explain what I mean. It's, we've got the four private parties, some individuals, some companies, and we have the beneficiaries. And that's really only the those are the only people that are really properly being discussed. It's, do the beneficiaries end up better off afterwards than they are now? And if we're talking about grazing income changing by less than $2,000, I don't see how removing a checkerboard area improves the income to the trust, because you're able to generate grazing income from here, and you may get a little bit more in the future. So to go through all this effort for checkerboarding, to remove checkerboard and these trespassing issues, that seems to have a completely insignificant effect on the income, especially when you consider that the easements for Game and Fish are now based on statewide, and not enough land is being removed to change the payment. So the payment is going to be the same. You're not going to be getting any more income from hunters by doing this consolidation, because that's the same. And you're going to be getting barely any more income from grazing. You said $1,700 in your presentation. And we've gone through this whole bit, but on the other side, we've got people who are giving transactions where the appraised value, they're losing $500,000. And so there's got to be something more going on here than just what's on this sheet. There's got to be a reason why these guys on the other side of the transaction are willing to give up $500,000 worth of property to do this. And on our side, there's so little benefit to the beneficiary. I mean, $1,700 divided between the 19 or 22 beneficiaries of the trust, it's nothing. And I'm sure that you can take up a collection and probably get folks that are opposed to pay $1,700 a year for you to stop all this. Tomas and I, you know, I split it, you know. I'll pay half that a year to keep this from going forward. To follow up on what Commissioner Nye said, you know, the perception of backroom deals and these things, I get emails daily from folks up there who are concerned about this, and that's something that we talked about in the Legislative Finance Committee, you said we were going to look and see what the bids contain the Tuesday after the hearing, and then go forward on that basis. But it seems like these are structured in such a way that the only way you can do them is with the people that you've been working with privately for months and months leading up to the transaction. You know, and so I had one gentleman, Lieutenant Colonel in the Air National Guard, he spoke to you also, Mr. Stranahan, about this. You know, came in and he's losing some of the lease area adjacent to some of his family property. He wanted to purchase the land from the land office and couldn't do it, wasn't given the opportunity. And so you're pricing it out in a way that's, you know, basically says unless you've got $2 million cash or $2 million worth of land, you're not really in the running to be a participant in it. And I think all these things added up together just give that impression that this is being railroaded through the issues of, you know, the new checkerboard that Representative Garcia has raised. But I mean, surely you've got to see that these issues are there and that people really genuinely have these feelings about what's going on. And most of the justification, in fact, all the justification except the $1,700, I think is not a legitimate justification. They may all be good things. They may not be good things. But those are things that the Game and Fish Department or the county sheriff or the state police or other agencies of the state need to be worrying about. You don't need to be helping Game and Fish with their trespassing issues. And you, and it's not really up to the state land office to help David Stanley or the Express UU Bar Ranch. It's not your responsibility to help them with their trespass issues. Especially after Express UU Bar spent how many decades suing you? I mean, that's the case. You know, I mean, Express UU Bar is the case that we're talking about for access. And now we're doing a land swap with the people that, that were suing you for, how many years did the case go on? 12? 13? 12 or 13 years. I mean, before I started law school, it was already up and back from the Supreme Court of Appeals once.
You know, we are getting $12 million in value. I mean, that seems to be that seems to be something that nobody's talking about. I mean, when you do a deal and the land is now worth $12 million more than the land we gave up, I don't think people just forget about that.
Well, no, I hear what you're saying, but see, and that's been something that I've been thinking about, which is, you know, appraised value, you can't pay your electric bill with an appraisal. You know, you need to be generating additional income. And I think to go through all of this effort and all of these months of work, and all we have to show for it is $1,700 in additional income, is not, I mean, just the cost-benefit analysis isn't there. And then, you know, the Mesa del Sol, and, you know, property may be worth a lot more in the future, but we won't never know. And, you know, the money, the land that's going to Santa Clara, you know, it seems like that could have just been put up for public auction. You know, see how much money you could get for it instead of involving it in a CS Ranch trade and giving it to them so they can sell it off. You know, we're not going to know if we're getting the maximum value for the beneficiaries by doing it that way. You know,
I'd like to do a private deal where I got $12 million in value. I mean, if my holdings are $10 million and I'm getting $23 million, I'd like to make that deal.
Well, what do you say to people who have questioned that some of these exchanges, more than half of them, involve cash rather than just pure land exchanges, especially considering the first 6 or 7 years of your term, the objective was to acquire more land rather than cash. And the rules of the public auction not being applied if it is a cash deal.
Let's touch on that a little bit, Peter. When we started office, we didn't want to lose more land than we had. In fact, we picked up close to, 70,000 to 80,000 more acres for hunters to hunt, plus 72,000, I think, rather than a minus 72,000. So we've had a plus number of acres. If we do a land exchange, and we did one where they're building a uranium enrichment plant in Lee County, that was state trust land. We've created a lot of economic development around the state. So we want to be able to exchange land for land mainly. Sometimes acres value doesn't work, and they got to throw in some cash. When we sell land for cash, that money just goes to our land grant permanent fund, then invested by the State Investment Council, and you know what's been happening in the State Investment Council. It's been a wreck. There's been third-party marketing fees. So I'd rather acquire land for future use, as Brian pointed out. We don't know what Mesa Sol will be worth in the future. We don't know what this consolidated piece of land will be worth in the future. It could be worth millions and millions and more. Once you consolidate that, take your checkerboard out of it, that land is worth a lot more money to anybody that's buying it. If you were a rancher going out and buying, if you're a wealthy person like Ted Turner and wanted to buy this piece of land, had this checkerboarded, you'd get offered a lot less now than before we did the exchange.
But once we do the exchange, that require you follow a different process if the deal is more cash than land exchange, that perhaps will not follow in these four instances.
Now, I don't quite understand. When we advertise in the paper,
under the Enabling Act, public option. Auctions, and this was done quietly over the last couple of years, apparently. Should it just have been a public auction if it was going to be for land or for cash?
Well, actually, we haven't done it quietly. We advertised 10 weeks in the paper. 10 weeks in the paper says, this is the land that we're offering. That's it, period, each week. Yeah, you can offer us land. And cash, land or cash, or just cash. So if someone like Ted Turner comes in and says, the land you offered, you saw your advertising paper, we want to buy that for $100 million. That bid came in. we would have to accept that bid because it's so much better. And what he does with the land, maybe he got a deal worked out with UU Bar Stanley or somebody. I don't know.
Or the Santa Clara Pueblo.
Or Santa Clara Pueblo pay a lot more. But we didn't get those offers. Those offers are out there. Let him finish. Then we'll go right to you.
Commissioner, if I may just... Sure. Just individuals, because I know some of the public may not know who some of these folks are.
Yeah.
So as they ask a question, if they could just kind of introduce themselves.
That's a good idea.
People know who they are.
Thank you.
I'm Peter with KKOB Radio.
Any more people?
Mr. Lyon?
Yes, sir.
What makes it so necessary to get rid of this or make this land swap now? It's been there forever. Like at the end of your term, you want to get rid of it or make changes and swaps all over the state. That's not necessary. Why don't you just drop it and let the other commissioner that comes in take care of that if it needs to be taken care of. Mr. Powell said that it doesn't need to be taken care of. He's running for office now.
He said
so
it does.
What makes it necessary to do it? Just a question.
It's been tried. That's what they've said for four land commissioners. Moves on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. We feel like it's time that I got a chance with these ranchers to get permanent access for hunters, get permanent water. That water ties everything together, and take the checkered border out of it and get that permanent access, permanent water, and take the checkered border out of it, and then we have a great quality wildlife management.
I think I introduced myself. I'm Flavio La Rañada from Uncle Chico. And I believe that we need to get rid of all, make all these changes just because you're in office. I believe that you're, I don't know, maybe trying to help somebody or whatever it is at the end of your term. I believe that we should just drop it and just forget about it and let the people, look at all these people here. You don't even give them a chance to talk. Let them talk and see what they're going to tell us. They're the ones from Mona.
We are going to give them a chance to talk. This was supposed to be a public official.
We are going to stop this guy.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. There seems to be a little bit of a disconnect about the
land. Can you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Phil Parker from the Journal. The land that Stanley is giving up, we've seen pictures in your presentation, and he's told me too. It's rocky, and it's filled with trees, and it's hard to navigate. But the hunters seem to be saying that it's, you know, it's the pristine, real prime land with the best animals. I'm just wondering, do you guys hunt through the real rocky stuff, or is it being misrepresented a little bit?
Misrepresented.
May I address?
Would you pay $10,000 to go hunt those rocks?
No, that's what I'm not understanding. So what is it?
May I address his concerns with your PowerPoint, with your permission, Mr. Lyons? Would you please go back to the properties that were shown that David Stanley has given up for the trade?
The open fields.
The open fields, yeah, and then where they showed the damaged roads. No, the actual photos. Go, keep going. Okay, go ahead, therefore. Okay, this property here sits relatively close to Ocotlán, New Mexico, probably about...
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean this.
I understand, but the connection, I have to explain so I can make the connections here. This sits relatively about 5 to 6 miles outside of Ocotlán, New Mexico. It's a flatland. You travel probably, I'd say maybe 1,000 feet in elevation from Ocotlán to this area. In this area, there's cattle grazing. Not very many, not very much wildlife. But there's some really good grazing stock holes, you know, the water holes. Keep going forward, please. Now, these fences, I can tell you from personal experience, I've been hunting this area since I was younger than him. I was 4 years old when I started hunting with him. These fences have been relatively in this condition since I can remember, for 31 years. Now, the blame is being laid on hunters and trespassers for doing it, though I can never remember a true fence ever existing as long as I've been hunting this area. Forward again, sir, please. Now, this is the condition of the road on all sides of this area. You have what they call caliche. You have that really terrible sticky mud. Some people call it barrial in Spanish, but it's a very bad kind of mud that the more moisture it gets, the worse the muddier it gets. But also, it's one of those things that there's where the sun hits it, depending on the season of the year, it will get muddier and muddier because the sun doesn't hit it for long enough periods of time to dry it out. But that's on the access areas that Commissioner Nines is talking about, as well as the rest of the area up into the trade lands. Okay, this area, as you can see...
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm talking...
The Rocky.
But I want to hear about...
We're running out of...
Okay, go forward again to the Rocky.
We're kind of running out of time.
To the Rocky Ridges, please.
The really fine hunting land that we keep hearing about.
The four.
Yeah.
More.
And I might actually just call going through these slides. If you saw those pictures of the trees, one of the things that you have to consider as a hunter, if you will.
Yeah. Okay, this area over here is what you're talking about, right?
That's what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay, yeah, right below this. At,
and hold on, ahead, let me just kind of real quick. When you're looking about the hunting, you know, and you're talking about games such as elk and deer and stuff like that, this is where they're at. You know, that's basically the short answer. They're not going to be in some of these flat plains that are out as you get into the Great Plains. And that's where the hunters are saying, you're giving away our prime pristine hunting lands, because if you were to look at some of those pictures, where do you think you'll see an elk? Even if you watch hunting shows, are you going to see them here?
Yeah.
Or are you going to see them in those open plains? And that's where the issue gets clouded.
So let me explain this properly. Where you see these ridges here, right below is the Ocate River, and I don't know what the road number is. It's the road that connects Black Lake and Ocate. 120. And so, but to the further side, see, topography is very misleading when you look at it this way. Because as you look at a ridge as this, it looks like it's inaccessible. However, within the area, there's a lot of flat and gentle sloping that goes on inside of the trees. Inside those areas, there's hundreds of watering holes.
Yeah,
I'll give you an example of one of the things I experienced in this area one time. At one point when we were hunting, we saw 9 bald eagles all in one area, in this general area. Where do you see that anywhere else? Now, in order to see 9 bald eagles, it must be pristine. It must be isolated. Yes, it is very difficult to access, but that's the point. When you're roughing it, you want rough terrain. You don't want flat campground terrain. I understand Patrick Lyon, Commissioner Lyon's concern to create the campground areas, but unfortunately that is not going to bring in any substantial revenue to the state in comparison to $200,000 that is coming in right now from the leasing of the permits, the game permits. Now, if you can, I urge you to ask any of the hunters here which of these areas they hunt regularly, and it will be the entire portion that was traded into the Stanley Ranch. That is where the game exists. That's where we all hunt. So that $200,000 in revenue will probably diminish because our purpose of hunting there is gone.
Okay, maybe you can get with him later because we're running out of time, but it's just a simple disagreement. The Valley Vidal area is the best elk hunting in the entire state, and what we're picking up is land just like the Valley of the area. We're not giving up all this type of land. We're keeping all of it. Up in Old Terrell Mesa, up north, we're keeping a lot of that land. That is exactly like that, the rough land. The Valley of the area is the best. Over in the Gila Wilderness, out toward the elk has moved out towards the more flatter part where the pinyon and juniper is at. So it's just a matter of there'll be prime elk hunting there. Prime elk hunting is what we're getting. Of course, there's good elk hunting in the whole area there, so it's just a matter of what you want. But we're picking up prime elk hunting, and elk stay, unless they're driven, they're stay out in the flats, and they'll be in water during archery season. They will be at the waters, and most of the waters are on private land now, which we will be acquiring.
Commissioner Mike Anaya County, Commissioner Santa Fe County, I would ask you not to make this transaction go through. I think that it's important that we include people early on, our legislators, our city and county elected officials, our farmers and ranchers, our sportsmen. I think those people, our community members, I think those people should have been at the table at the beginning of this instead of at the table at the end. And I ask you, Commissioner, that you not go through this transaction until we do that process. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, sir. Commissioner Peter Martinez, Morrow County. I think Commissioner Lyons
like you said, in the past 4 years, four land commissioners, it hasn't gone through because there was something that was stopping this. My constituents from Mora County, as well as your constituents, have said no to this, and I think that's what we need to do is say no.
Okay. You want to follow up with anything?
You've got a cash offer on the table for me and Representative Garcia that make up that $1,700, so cancel it. We'll pay the...
Yeah, how about the $10 million in improved value? Can y'all make that up?
Commissioner, on that $10 million and $12 million that this gentleman said here, I don't think you can actually put a value on our land in Mora County, because that's our land.
That land belongs to the state trust beneficiaries, and we lease it to generate...
Here's the beneficiary right here.
Our land.
To benefit... To benefit our beneficiary and to generate revenue. We have constantly been shut down for generating revenue around the state, and we think this is a great opportunity to acquire a block up land, increase the value of the land, and also generate revenue in the future.
Yes, sir. You got it. I'm a licensed guy to the game fish department. That's the kind of property I take my hunters into. That's where the big games are, the big elk are at. The 7x7s, you can move. If you want to find Bambi, you can take it down to the lowlands, you know, and trade off. But that's where all the big game is at. The elk, deer, bear, mountain lions.
Yeah, we're keeping a lot of that property, too.
I've hunted those areas all my life.
We're getting...
years old, and I can show you all those areas for all the big elk.
And we're getting property like that, too.
Why are you giving it to Stanley?
We're getting property from Stanley at the same time.
It's still under investigation under the attorney's office, the AG's office. Why are you trading it before you finish the investigation?
There is no investigation.
It came out on the paper, the AG's office is investigating.
There's no investigation.
What they said is there were inconsistencies in the appraisals.
Well, if
we disagree with them, and
that's fine.
And they're investigating it right now.
But you shouldn't push anything through until the investigation is completed.
That
equals malfeasance.
Excuse me. They made appraisals for property versus property, but they didn't say animals on this property, which are elk and other game.
Okay.
Commissioner, before you leave, one question.
I haven't finished yet.
I'm sorry.
I just have one more comment. Okay. Right now, the gentleman here goes to White's Peak. He buys a license for $83 from the Game and Fish Department. Stanley gets a hold of it. He can get a license for $83, go through the rancher. Now he pays the Game and Fish Department $83 for the license. Game and Fish Department are the only ones who can sell a license to anybody. Now he's got to pay Stanley up to $10,000, $12,000 trespassers fee.
That's not true. You're not telling the truth.
Yes, it is true.
We're getting the excess in the bottom. Why are you continuously lying? First off,
who's lying? Don't confuse him with lying.
Go back to the map, Barney, where we're getting the access from the highway. We're getting access from the highway.
You're talking about some areas. We don't need that access. We don't want that area.
One at a time.
Not here.
Yeah.
We're getting access from the highway. What you're saying is wrong. We're getting permanent access.
But Stanley's going to be in charge of it. He can charge you trespassing fee of whatever he wants. Not you. You'll get a free.
You're trespassing up on private property now. We're talking to Game Fish about that. Your dad and that guy got outfitter license.
Free hunt.
Okay, do you have anything else? Yes, wait a minute. Where are you? Right here.
I've done it. I guess. For the ranch.
Okay, we need to do, we wanted to have a civil, calm, respectful conversation here. So please be respectful of our guests and the commissioner, and be calm and one at a time.
Yes, sir.
It's really not necessary to scream or throw insults.
Or to be raising your voice.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. You got the floor.
Bill Madison, I live near Dean.
Yeah.
My issue is the windmills that are about to be installed around 18 villages in Dean. We've tried to talk to have a meeting with you personally.
My door's open. When do you want to meet?
I'm sorry.
We'll meet
Secretary,
right now.
I will. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, why...
We got to identify yourself.
I'm sorry. I'm Shepherd's Grove in New Mexico. Why on the one that we're showing the exchange, aren't you showing what UU Bar, what you're giving UU Bar?
Yes.
It's not on any of the maps that you showed. Because where State Road 199 comes in, I believe you're giving that away, is my understanding. This yellow here? Doesn't State Road 199 come into that?
Yeah, here's the map right here.
Yeah, doesn't State Road 199,
State Road 199 comes into right through here, to their private land.
So
But you're giving them everything around that.
We're giving them this right here.
The reason that they aren't allowed to close that gate is because of this. You are giving them an excuse to close the gate. That's what that does. The only reason that the Supreme Court found in the state's favor is because that there was land, the state land was so close, they had to keep it open. If you make the state land farther away, you basically give them a pass to close that gate.
It was closed here on a court case. It was closed here on a court case.
Mm-hmm.
And now, someday it'll be refiled to open it here. Yes, we want to keep access through here.
Mm-hmm.
And we plan to keep access through there.
But this is what you're giving Unibar, correct?
That's because they can do the... That is correct. They can do define... This is property where it's not as rough. They can define the boundary lines where state hunters all hunt here, and we won't have any of the private hunters hunting where the state hunters are supposed to be, and the private hunters will hunt over here.
My understanding of the reason that they found in the state's favor is because of the proximity to the state land. And
they found in the state favor, they said... That was Highway 199. They said it wasn't closed properly, which is a two-track road. They said it didn't go through the Department of Finance for closing. Somehow, through Finance Authority, it didn't go through there. And that road's been moved around a bunch over the years. Nobody knows where that is. 199 does not, there's not a right-of-way purchased in the land office from Highway 199.
Plus, it's state-owned. I mean, they found it to be owned by the state.
No, you have to. We do easements and right-of-ways. Anytime there's, we don't give away right-of-ways. They have to be purchased. There's no purchase agreement for any right-of-way through here on Highway 199. We've intensely searched our records. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner.